Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
An old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again, underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
The win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Hey, this is Art Chansky, and I'm flopping more than a Duke basketball player on this particular game tonight.
This is Bob Lee. Buckle up those chin straps. Here come the Fighting Fedorians.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
I'm Rod Stutz. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from the WCHL studios as we count down to the Tar Heel game with South Carolina. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Well, Ron, I'll tell you. I picked the Gamecocks to win on ChapelBarrow.com, and I've regretted it ever since. And I don't know whether it's because I know something that I didn't know then, or whether I'm just bleeding Carolina blue. So I don't know. I'm hoping it's a close game, and it's one that really can do the Tar Heels a lot of good, but it can also do a lot of damage if they should get blown out of Williams-Brice Stadium tonight.
Well, Bob Lee, how about you?
It's a for real border war rivalry, and college football doesn't get any better than border war rivalries.
North Carolina is South Carolina. You can't say that enough times. I mean, I get excited every time I think about it, and we've been looking forward to doing this show since last season. And
that brings up a question, Stutz.
All right.
We've been working out all preseason with the idea that Chansky was going to be down at Williams-Brice. So I bring in my Art Chansky bobblehead doll, and I walk in, and here he is in the flesh. What's going on, Stutz? You know all the answers.
I have no idea. Art threw me a curve, too, up until about mid-morning. I thought he was going to be in Columbia as well.
What's the deal, Stan?
I had personal problems.
I thought it was a couple of outstanding warrants in Gaffney.
Personal problems that lead me to be right here in front of the HDTV instead of down there on the 40th row of the upper deck.
Oh, yeah.
God love you.
But anyway, Bob Lee, while I did come back here, I want to tell you, I read your last column. I read the one you just posted today. And let me ask you, are you on speed when you write those things?
I am on a permanent high, Chansky.
Well, who the hell is Mel Cooley? Tell me that. I know Mel Lewis.
He was played by Richard Deacon, and he was Alan Brady's assistant on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and he also played Lumpy Rutherford's father on Leave It to Beaver.
Wow.
Stutz, you're old enough Bob to remember
says,
that.
Rob Petrie and Ron Burgundy and the Gong Show and Monty Hall and Jerry Springer and Miley Cyrus. What's going on in that column?
I have kind of a niche audience, Chansky.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A niche audience of nitwits. That's right.
A lot of different niches, that's
they,
for sure.
They speak well, real well of you too, Art.
Well, just looking at that site makes me dizzy. But I'm glad to be back with you in season 2 of The Good Sports.
Absolutely.
And
season 2 of Fedora and season 2 of Bob Lee and Art Chansky.
Exactly. And the same thing. I came to Carolina the same year Bill Dooley, so there's a parallel there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I heard Ryan Watts talking the first hour about all the number 7s that people are wearing down in Columbia. I wonder how many of those number 7s old Jadavian signed. What do you think?
That might cost him the first 10 minutes of the game by the new NCAA rules.
If it was me, I'd sit him out to suspend him the first half and the second half tonight. Hey, but, you know, you have to give it to the hat, and you have to give it to Bubba Cunningham. You know, to schedule a game like this to open the season on ESPN, it's the first road game, true road game, that we've played on an opponent's field since 2001, and we haven't won an opening game on the road in 20 years since Southern Cal, since Mac Brown went and beat Southern Cal in L.A. So You know, it's a chance for great exposure, but it's also a chance for great embarrassment. What do you think?
Wow, what a strange way to look at it. I want to look at the great exposure. I was looking at a film of that Southern Cal game, which was played in, what, Anaheim Stadium, wasn't mm-hmm. it? And at the end of it, they're holding it with some kind of Chick-fil-A game or some kind of deal. And at the end, I see a Carolina player holding up the trophy, and it's Steinbacher. Whoa. Rick Steinbacher was a linebacker on that team. Now, that was not Little Rick as he is now. That was Big Rick. Kind of like Jeff Saturday. There was a Big Jeff and a Little Jeff and a Big Rick and a Little Rick.
Or a Skinny Rick, right?
Skinny Rick.
Well, you know, the whole deal about Jadeveon Clowney is really interesting when you talk about guys who have dominated. South Carolina's got a lot more players than Jadeveon Clowney, and if we double-team him, then it's, as somebody said in the first hour, it's going to give an opportunity for some of those other defensive linemen to start. So I don't know how we're going to play him. It'll depend on if they move him around when they come out of the huddle, if he's on our left side or he switches over to our right side. But, you know, they say that the same thing. They say the same thing about Jadeveon Clowney that they said about Julius Peppers, that he takes plays off. Well, I'll tell you what, he's not going to take any plays off tonight because this is his chance tonight to play well and take the rest of the season off. Because if he plays great tonight, it's all over. You know, no one will care. He's the first pick in the NFL draft. Well, but if he doesn't play well, the rest of the season, he has to make up for it.
Absolutely. Well, the question I've been getting everywhere I've gone this week, I mean, up and down Franklin Street, up on 15501, everybody asked me, what kind of name is Jadeveon, for Christ's sake? I mean, Shadrach, some guy over at NC State named Shadrach. Okay, that's an Old Testament name. I get that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But who the heck is Jadeveon? Is it like Nomar Garciaparra? It's Raymond spelled backwards?
Didn't you look it up? I thought you'd come here with the research of
you
that.
You Googled Jadeveon?
Hey, let me tell you, everybody knows Jadeveon Clowney from the hit in the Outback Bowl he made on Michigan's Vincent Smith.
Who did not have his helmet chin strap.
Right, exactly. But tell me what that play has in significance to this season. Do you know that?
Absolutely nothing, probably.
No, if that play happens this season, according to the new rules,
you're right.
Jadeveon Clowney's out of the game.
Right.
And he's sitting out the first half of tonight's game. If the same rules. Now, let's go over those rules. One of the rules is, this is all to protect players who are in a so-called defenseless position. And I don't know how they're going to call this, and Fedora really raised his doubts about the judgment of this call and some others in his preseason, pre-South Carolina press conference. But according to the new rule, Bob Lee, that if a defensive back hits a runner before he has fully taken possession of the ball, that's a defenseless player hit, and that defensive man is out of the game.
Well, I mean, this is a whole subject that you and I could talk about for hours on end. Football is a crazy game played by people who should know better. It is a violent game. And I know this is being debated by everybody. I hear the ESPN people all talk about it. I think a lot of the NFL players are talking about it. You can't take the violence out of football. It is a violent contact game, and people are going to get hurt. And they're bigger, faster, stronger now than they've ever been. And it just was – I would not let my daughter play football.
Well, they're trying to take the injuries out of the game, and they're not trying to take the injuries that we're used to. There's so much publicity now, and there's been so much talk about concussions and head and neck injuries over the last couple of years. And one of the big studies is being done right here at UNC. What they're doing is they're lowering the target. They're lowering the target area, and Fedora said that brings into play more possible lower body injuries like knee injuries, which are really career-threatening injuries. So if you want to hit a guy and avoid a penalty, you're gonna lower the target, and then if at full speed you get down around the knee area, it could be a problem.
You know how it's going to turn out is that if Jadeveon Clowney gets thrown out of the game, our fans are going to love it. If Kareem Martin gets thrown out of the game, our fans aren't going to like that rule very well. It all depends on whose ox is gored.
And the rule is that if you get thrown out in the first half, you're out for the rest of the game. If you get thrown out in the second half, you're out the first half of the next game.
Kind of like Johnny Manziel and Rice.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand. Who made up these rules? It sounds like somebody on Bob Lee Says made up these rules.
Absolutely.
And how are they going to adjudicate these rules, Bob Lee?
Ron, what does adjudicate mean?
Hang on a second. Let me get my dictionary out here for a second. Yeah, I thought you would know that, Bob.
Well, I want to talk about something before we go to that interview with Charles Waddell, and we're looking forward to talking with Charles. This thing about Steve Spurrier. Now, I got a Steve Spurrier personal anecdote. You kind of knew I probably would, didn't you, Stutz?
We figured you'd make one up.
All right, I'm down at just remember Roy and the Jayhawk sticker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A week after that happened, I'm down at Myrtle Beach at Barefoot Resort playing in a celebrity pro-am, Steve Spurrier and I. And I go up to him and I say, Coach, I got a question. Do you have – and this was a week afterwards. Everybody was all abuzz about Roy and the Jayhawk sticker. And I said, Coach, would you ever wear a Florida sticker walking around Columbia, South Carolina? And he laughed and he said, you know, I was watching that game of the night and I turned to my wife and I said, he shouldn't ought to do that, meaning wearing the Jayhawk sticker. And he said, I got to tell Roy, he said, you know, I'm famous for upsetting fans, but I upset the other team's fans, not my own fans.
So that
said a lot about Steve Spurrier, who loves, and no one's ever been better at gigging the opponent's fans and getting the attention on him and off of his players. I think it's wonderful that he's able to do that and that our fans have this hatred. It's almost Krzyzewskian in terms of their hatred for Steve Spurrier. I love it.
Why did that happen, though? Why did that happen? It happened because he came in here as the head coach. He came to Duke as the head coach in 1987. And he beat Carolina three times. Now, he beat a 5-6 Dick Crum team in 87. He beat a 1-10 Mack Brown team in 88. And he beat a 1-10 Mack Brown team in 89. You know, add that up. That's 11-34. Are you kidding me? Steve Spurrier won the Heisman Trophy. He won a national championship at Florida. And he's cackling over that. Three wins at Carolina.
He just wanted to say the word cackle, Stutz. Did you get how he worked that whole thing so he could say cackle like he did in his column today?
And you know who the hero of Carolina fans really is, right? That's Connor Barth. Because Connor Barth kicked a 44-yard field goal against Miami in 2004. If he had not made that field goal and Carolina had lost that game, guess who the new coach at Carolina would have been in 2005?
Boy, now that's a fun one. Wasn't there a rumor at that time that someone had bought a lot, or been given a lot at Governor's Club?
Well, I'll
and
tell
who,
you.
What coach plays golf? Steve Spurrier. He's moving to Governor's Club. Oh, my gosh, we're bringing Steve Spurrier in. But Duke's finally gotten it right. Oh, my gosh.
I think it's more than a wives' tale. I think that if Carolina loses that game to Miami, the old ball coach is on the head sideline at Keenan, home sideline at Keenan Stadium next
year. And we would love him.
Well, it would take a while, but I think we would. We've gotten over that 1989 photo game. And who is the dumbass that I'm going to ask Charles Waddell that? Who is the dumbass that left that scoreboard on in '89? Were you working in the athletic department?
No.
He was up in the booth. I know he had his hands on the controls.
Well, what happened was probably the athletic staff said, hey, you know, at halftime, this game's over. Let's go home, you know. So everybody left, and the guy who was in charge of the scoreboard left. He left.
Somebody fell asleep.
Moving right along to quarterbacks, I like Bren Renner.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gunslinger to me. He looks good in a uniform. I like Bren Renner. I like Larry Fedora. I like you, Chansky. But I like Bren Renner. He's a quarterback.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. This is the senior year. He's had a lot of notice this year for preseason notoriety, and he's even on one Heisman Trophy watch list. But he's got tonight. He has got to spread the field, run a lot of plays, and this shows you how old we are. But I liken this to a basketball game a long time ago when a big, tall, slow South Carolina team came into Chapel Hill. Carolina wouldn't play against their zone. They made him come out and chase around, and 2 hours later, the Gamecocks left Chapel Hill licking their wounds with a 15-point loss. That's what has to happen tonight on the field. We have to run so many plays and run them so fast and run them so well that big defense in South Carolina, they're going to be holding their shoulder pads and they're going to be holding their thigh pads by the third quarter. And if that happens...
Was that Skip Kickey or Gary Greger?
And the visor comes off, Skip Harlicka and Gary Greger were on that team.
No.
But no, that was after them. That was Tom Owens, Tom Riker, Kevin Joyce, that crew. But if South Carolina gets winded in the second half and the visor comes off, watch out.
All right. Well, hey, you guys want to take a break and then bring your special guest on?
Yeah, let's call Charles Waddell.
What do you think?
He played about 9 sports here. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think we can prop him on the phone.
All right.
This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. More coming up right after this on WCHL.
Hello, this is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's that time of year again, Carolina football season. And nobody gets more excited about Carolina football than I do.
Sammy, football and real estate have absolutely nothing in common, except once I had a client who wore shoulder pads.
Well, I think that counts.
And homes are measured in square feet, and football is a game of inches.
And our business is all about bringing two parties together who have totally opposing agendas. The buyer always wants to pay as little as possible, and the seller usually wants more than the market will bear.
And inspections are like first downs, and lenders are like referees, and closing is like the end zone.
By George, I think she's got it.
I do have it, Sammy. When it comes to buying and selling a house, we all want to come out ahead. And at Franklin Street Realty, we make that happen.
At Franklin Street, we have more than 20 years experience helping the right buyers and sellers find each other, so everyone ends up a winner.
Oh, Sammy, that's so sweet.
Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Welcome to The Landscape. This is Brian Pop with Landscape Logic. Don't just overseed this fall, but improve the condition of your soil by aerating and top dressing your lawn with the organic soil conditioner. This will create an avenue for water and nutrients so they can get to the root zone of the plant where it is needed, saving you money. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com. We'll see you next time in The Landscape.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
7 seconds on the play clock. Big third down here. Carolina trying to take the lead. Shotgun snap to Renner. He drops straight back. Plenty of time. Goes to the end zone. Ebron leaps. Catches it for 6. What a play by the Tar Heel tight end.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Back now with Good Sports, Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz, and special guest time. Now, here's Art Chansky to tell you all about it.
We're excited about our first guest of the season. He's one of my personal legends, one of my personal heroes at Carolina. It's Charles Waddell, who was a 3-sport athlete, one of the great athletes to ever put on the Carolina Blue in the 70s, played football, basketball, and he probably was in about 10 events in track. Bob Lee, I know that you want to welcome Charles.
Well, I do. I mean, Charles is unique in that he is crossed over the line, born and matriculated in North Carolina, raised and matriculated here down at Southern Pines, and then here in the early 70s. And now for the last, 7 years, Charles, you've been on the other side of the line.
7, almost 8. We'll be 8 in February.
All right, now here's a question. We understand both fan bases. You understand your bunch of crazies better than we do, and you understand our pompous bunch of arrogant people up here. Do they still give you a hard time about where you came from?
Yes.
Will they ever forget where you came from? Will you ever become a Gamecock?
I mean, they've really been good to me and my family. They really have, and I've enjoyed my 7 years here.
You had Hyman running interference for you for a while.
Yeah, we did, and we have a fair amount of Tar Heels down here now. We meet every now and then, and we keep it secret. You got Chad Holbrook and Beverly Smith, our softball coach, and just a number of other people here. But
all right, now that leads me into my real question here. This is a kind of a hardball coming at you like Matt Harvey coming at you with a 3-2 count here. Back in the 90s, the athletic director at South Carolina was Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Duke All-American named Mike McGee. Am I correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Followed that was a North Carolina defensive lineman named Eric Hyman. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
All right. And now it's a Johnson County, NC State guy by the name of Ray Tanner. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Why can't South Carolina produce their own athletic directors? Come on, Waddell. Why do you come up and steal athletic directors from North Carolina?
Well, the funny thing about it is I guess we've matriculated down here to South Carolina. I guess I'm not going to touch that. They had a nice run of ADs from South Carolina there early on.
All right.
Well, Charles, I'm going to ask you a question you can answer, and I want to preface it by saying thanks very much for joining us. And Bob Lee was supposed to be gracious to you, but he jumped right into his first question, which
that's all right, Bob.
which you refused to answer. So it's really been interesting. You know, you and I kind of grew up in the same era when South Carolina was in the ACC, and we watched them leave the ACC in 1971. You know, Dietzel said it was McGuire's fault. McGuire said it was Dietzel's fault. And for a while there, it looked like South Carolina really did make a mistake until McGee got them into the SEC. Now, in a school that we thought of back then really as a basketball school or a school that was equal in football and basketball has become this massive football giant in terms of popularity with a stadium. Yeah, 85,000 seats now, Charles. How many people will be there tonight?
There'll be 85,000 here tonight.
Right. And the idea that it really doesn't matter, I remember there was one really down year for the Gamecocks. They were 0-11 going into the final game and still had 85,000 people there. So give us the secret behind the fervor that exists with South Carolina football, because we certainly don't have it up here.
We really do have passionate fans. They really are. They've embraced all of the teams. They really, over the years, have really, really wanted to be good. And to be honest, I mean, it is a good time right now to be a Gamecock. You'll see a bunch of those bumper stickers around, but we're having a lot of success across the board in some of our sports, especially football. I don't think it's ever been this good, and they're just really enjoying life. But even when we had down years, I mean, the fans still came out, and they made themselves heard.
And Charles, I think it's bigger than just Gamecock football. Here you've got North and South Carolina, and you're familiar with both. You've sold football and with the Panthers, and so you're familiar with the culture in both states. And in South Carolina, without a major metropolitan area, unless you sort of count Charlotte, but don't have an Atlanta, you've Columbia and the upstate are as big, your big metropolitan areas for what they amount to. Yet on any given Saturday in the fall, two stadiums can have 85,000 people in them simultaneously, and they will have 85,000 people every Saturday. How did they do that?
Just the passion for that sport, really. I mean, they really, the state of South Carolina, and I, you know, my first interaction with that was playing South Carolina in the Shrine Bowl as a high school all-star.
South Carolina is far ahead in the win-loss on that, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And my team didn't help that. I was on defense that day when we chased around a guy named Freddie Solomon. And he only gained about 250 yards from the quarterback position.
But, I mean, even in North Carolina, we take our four big schools. I guess you could add East Carolina in their fifth. And we would have a hard time with five schools. And Carolina State, of course, will pull 50 to 60. And then Wake Forest, Duke, and East Carolina, we would be hard-pressed to have 170,000 people watching football in the stands on a given Saturday. And well, you guys can do it with two.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it was they've just always embraced football here in this state. I know where North Carolina is more basketball, and even though South Carolina has had a rich history in basketball, especially in the 70s and in the early 80s, it's nothing like football.
Well, you know, I've always wondered about it. Of course, people talk about Carolina's basketball tradition, but it's not like you go, am I going to go to the basketball game tonight or the football game, or I'm going to play golf or something, I'm going to go to the beach. It's not an either-or situation. They play at different times of the year. Why can't a fan be a fan of both and go pull for their, as someone said, you pull for laundry. Go pull for their color jersey no matter what it's doing.
Well, you know, the brief time I've seen where it's been a good crossover here was early in Darren Horn's tenure, and then when we had some success, we won the East and the SEC, and our fans came out and supported him. We were selling out. We sold out the last half of the season, and we had a SEC AD said to Eric Hyman at the time that our crowds were as good as anybody in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Now, for basketball, you got to win for the fans to come out. And as you talked about earlier, back when Lou Holtz first got here and had some over seasons, we still sold out the football stadium. So I can't tell you why that is.
Baseball sells out now, don't they?
Baseball, oh yeah, we sell out an 8,000-seat stadium.
Charles, help me just a minute. Who won the Super Regional this past year?
Come on, he's going to hang up the phone on us. Charles, listen, you know, everybody aspires to go and party at Williams-Brice Stadium before the game to be wealthy enough to get one of those cockabooses. How much does it cost to get one of those cockabooses anyway?
Well, you know what? I don't know. It's a lot.
So you go there being invited by somebody, right?
Yeah.
I've been there as an invitee as well. Hey, but, you know, the idea, too, here's the thing, that you had some, you know, in the years that you were trying to build it, you had Joe Morrison, the Man in Black, and you had Brad Scott and so forth. But all of a sudden, McGee goes and gets Lou Holtz, which is a real coup for South Carolina. And then you follow Lou Holtz up with Steve Spurrier, who everybody thinks should have come here in 2004. That's another story for another day. But, you know, we followed Mack Brown's great career with Carl Torbush, you know, John Bunning, and Butch Davis, who looked like he was heading us in the right direction and went the opposite way. So the superstar coaches, even during their rebuilding years, that's a big factor for what's going on with South Carolina football.
I think a major factor, though, is the SEC and who you're going to line up against every Saturday, the history and the tradition. I remember when I had an opportunity to spend about 4 years with Jim Delaney in the Big Ten, another conference rich with football tradition back in the early 90s. At that time, the Big Ten was neck and neck with the SEC on who had the greatest amount of attendance per year. And it had been Big Ten for many, many years. And I think around that time is when the SEC took over the attendance record. And, football it's a religion in the SEC. I mean, the stadiums, big stadiums, passionate fans, great football. It's something else. It's been really fun to be a part of that. And I think that's one of the reasons, where you can attract people like Lou and Steve to a place like this. And then once you get involved in it and have some success, it's really a good thing.
Well, that's a great point. And in order for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier to go there, it has to be the top, and it's SEC football. We all sit wherever we're playing on Saturdays. We come back at night and turn on the TV, and it doesn't really matter whether it's Columbia, Gainesville, Tuscaloosa, whatever. There's a game with 90,000 people sitting in the stands, and it's that 90,000 seat gorilla that you have, and everybody wants to coach there, and everybody wants to play there. But the amazing thing about South Carolina, nobody thought that the Gamecocks could compete in the SEC when they joined the league. The state was too small. They were surrounded by Georgia and North Carolina, Tennessee, too many places, you couldn't get players. But it turns out for a small South Carolina, smaller than North Carolina, right, Bob?
Yep.
For a state like that, really better high school football, and you have to share it with Clemson.
Yeah.
So it's really I know you go out of state and get some guys, but what they've done even in the down years to keep the excitement going there is pretty amazing.
Charles, I've got a question for you real quick, and it's a question that I've asked Bubba Cunningham, and I ask every athletic administrator that I get a chance to talk to. I think a key moment in sports marketing was when big screen HD TVs got below $1,000. That now watching college football, particularly on HD TV in one's own home theater or living room with all the graphics and all the technology, is just about as good as it gets.
Yes.
And I know when Jerry Jones built the Cowboy Stadium, he said, "I've got to make this place better than my fans' living room." And that's not a problem for you guys right now. You're one of the top 10 passionate fan bases in the country, but most schools don't have that degree of that depth of passion. As an athletic administrator, if you weren't at South Carolina, if you were somewhere where you didn't have that huge a fan base, how do you fight the HDTV monster?
Well, you probably worry about it today, don't you, Charles?
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's the biggest fear and concern of every athletic administrator, pro or college.
I mean, you're getting millions for your TV contract, so it's making money for you.
It's making money for you, but you have to create an environment that's going to attract your fans, and you got to give your fans a reason for them to come to your venue. It's just not if you're going that way, we might as well have games in studios.
Yep.
and pipe in the sound. But it's different. I mean, just the electricity. I mean, you guys know, you've been involved and you've sat in some great arenas, and it's just different to be there. But you got to continue to make it special, because you're exactly right. I can sit at home and watch my HDTV and have my favorite beverage. And
what would that be?
I think we're a Coke school.
Yeah.
So it'll be Diet Coke.
Roy Williams appreciates that.
But no, you're exactly right. We can't give people a reason not to come and spend their money here. It's all about disposable income, and people are going to pick and choose where they spend it. And it's really not all athletic. I mean, we're now competing with somebody's favorite restaurant. I mean, because you're going to pick. You know, that disposable income, we have a limited amount.
Well, I was down at Death Valley in LSU 2 years ago, LSU-Arkansas game, and it was the first time I'd ever been there, and of course, that's one of the great venues of college sports. And I walked out at the third quarter, and there were people at RVs with big TVs set up on their RVs. They were in the parking lot. They were obviously big donors, but they chose to sit at their RV with their restroom and their own beverages and watch it on HDTVs on the sides of their RVs. That's weird.
That's why they did the cockabooses, Bob Lee, because the cockabooses are so small you can't get but a 40-inch TV in there. You know?
I mean, that's strange.
But you're exactly right, but it's something special about it. It's more of an event than any of the other sporting events that we have. Football Saturdays, it's a social event, and hopefully it will stay that way here because we need people to continue to come to our venue.
We got
to
take a quick break and come back with Charles Waddell, a Deputy Athletic Director at South Carolina. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee and Charles Waddell. Hang on for just a moment here. We're going to go down live to Columbia, South Carolina now, where Ryan Watts is standing by with a scene setter for us for the game tonight. And Ryan, what's going on down there?
I'll tell you, Ron, it's definitely an SEC atmosphere. You hear a lot about the SEC coming from the ACC, and I think a lot of fans have a tendency to roll their eyes a little bit at that sort of thing. But I'll go ahead and be honest with you. I mean, the game day atmosphere down here is absolutely terrific. There are quite a bit of fans all around here. There are quite a few tailgates going on, as I'm sure you can imagine, bands, et cetera. There's a lot of excitement about this game. Even though South Carolina is a heavy favorite, I think there's some feeling within the South Carolina crowd here today that there's something to prove, and perhaps that comes from the disagreement over, as we mentioned before, the South Carolina, North Carolina, who's Carolina complex that goes on. But it is definitely palpable down here today, Ron. It is absolutely my pleasure to be part of this today.
Ryan, this is Bob Lee. I got a question for you. I haven't been down there in years. I won't even tell you how many years. For other fans who haven't, the William Bryce Stadium is more like a Carter-Finley than it is a Keenan. It's not an on-campus stadium, so there's certain things they can do. I think it is on some kind of fairgrounds, actually. Describe that setting physically as compared to the Keenan and Carter-Finley.
You know, that's a really great comparison, I think, to Carter-Finley. I've been there a couple times. It is not quite on campus, but it is very close. And from my experience at Carter-Finley, it's perhaps a little bit wider of a gap than over there at NC State. But here, there's an ability to walk from campus here, and there's a lot of students around. They've been waiting for this. It's the start of classes. So there are a lot of students who are on campus ready to go for this one. I think there may have been a few skipped classes today, though. I'm not gonna go out on a limb on that one.
what's the alcohol rule around there?
I believe the best word to describe it would be very lenient on the alcohol policy here. And I do have a few tailgaters around me who are very happy to hear about that.
Is that a legal term, Ryan?
is lenient a legal term? I don't know. I did not go to law school over at the University of North Carolina, but I think the cops are more than happy to sit back and relax and watch the show.
Okay.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate your calling in, and hope you enjoy yourself down there. And remember, which Carolina is Carolina. And
I can never forget, Ron.
And we'll talk to you in just a little while here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Ryan Watts, live in Columbia.
Back now to the good sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz. And once again, here is Art Chansky and Bob Lee with Charles Waddell.
Charles, let's change direction a minute and go with a semi-serious question. You worked with Eric Hyman for some years there, and of course, yeah, we all know where he is now, right in the middle of a mess. One, has he called you to ask for advice on how to handle the Johnny Manziel situation? And if he did, what would you advise him?
He hasn't, thank goodness. And Eric's one of the best ADs in the country, and he's very experienced in this. And unfortunately, you know, we went through some things here at South Carolina, you know, that was somewhat similar to this. We had a challenging young man that just always just seemed to be sideways with what he should be doing. But, you know, it's just really challenging in today's world where the exposure is so great. And we try to tell our kids that, you know, they're in as tough a situation as I've ever seen, because the exposure that you have, it's good to have that exposure, but it's also bad. And I think they feel that they got things in line there. The young man said that, you know, he hadn't taken any money, and, you know, I hope it works out for him. I hate to see kids lose their eligibility, but of course, I think Eric has it in hand.
Charles, we are going to get to talk about tonight's game, but before that, I do have one question that's always been on my mind, and that is, you know, Steve Spurrier is a legendary football coach, obviously, and you played for Dean Smith. You worked here when he was coaching. You observed him from afar, from different places. I don't mean to compare them in any way, but I'm asking you to compare them in terms of, you know, their power, their influence, their mesmerizing of the fans and so forth. What can you draw between your experience with Coach Smith and working with Spurrier?
Oh, good question. Good question. You know, I really hadn't thought about that. But in thinking about Coach Smith and Steve, you know, they are very, very smart. Both of them were very, very smart and kind of ahead of their time with some of the things they've brought to the game. As you know, Coach Smith was very innovative. There are a lot of things that we were the first to do at North Carolina. You know, the type defenses we ran and just how he went about running the program. The practice was so structured and the way he prepared us for competition. And Steve's that same way a lot. I mean, he has his offensive mind. I mean, that's why he's still calling plays to this day, because in a way he's still up under center. I mean, he was a Heisman Trophy quarterback, but the way he thinks about the game, you know, it just gives everybody confidence that, you know what, if he has time to prepare, we're going to put together a good game plan.
Well, does that mean your alma mater's in trouble tonight?
I hope so.
Well, you know, Larry Fedora, you know, he doesn't have the name Steve Spurrier has, but he has really created a lot of excitement around here. And coming off of what we've been through, three just horrible years, and I think it's pointed in the right direction. Bubba Cunningham is terrific athletic director, and Fedora's created a lot of excitement. We're hoping for a very competitive game. We know that you're probably the best quarterback on your sideline is going to be calling the plays on the sideline. So, you know, we're hoping that Carolina's defense, North Carolina's defense, is improved, and, you know, we can stop you guys a little bit and then somehow, you know, run the ball a little bit against number seven and the rest of the defensive line.
Yeah, that's where I'm nervous right now. I really am. The Tar Heels have a lot of talent up there. You know, some of it from the state of South Carolina, as we have a number of kids from North Carolina on our squad as well. And the kids are going to play hard. And as you know, on any given day, you know, it depends on who shows up and who makes the fewest number of mistakes. And Larry Fedora is doing a fine job up there. We got to play against him when he was at Southern Miss. He does put together offense that challenges your defense. He really does. And I think it's going to be a great game. It's already been nerve-wracking to me, and we haven't even kicked off.
Well, Charles, one question that I've been asked a lot this week is people are really now focusing, as Fedora said yesterday, the haze in the barn. Now we're today's the day. And this is a little bit of Steve Spurrier and North Carolina trivia that I'm sure you know about. Let's say that Larry Fedora and the Fighting Fedorians win tonight. Do you think Coach Fedora should take a picture of the scoreboard?
If you find one that's on, you can do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Charles, who was the dumbass that left that scoreboard on in 1989?
I don't know, because every time I have to go in the Steve's office, I see that picture.
Well, hey, Charles, it's been great visiting with you. Thank you for giving us such a valuable amount of your time, a few hours before kickoff. You've always been a great favorite to everybody in North Carolina, and, you know, we always want you back here, whether it's to visit or permanently or whatever, so, you know, don't be a stranger, and let's hope for a real close game tonight.
Carolina is going to win.
I think you're right, Bob.
Either way.
Take care.
Okay, Charles.
Charles Waddell, special guest, North Carolina and South Carolina coming up. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Back with more in a moment.
Well, we were talking just a moment ago about the alcohol situation down at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia and the atmosphere down there. And we have Mary Mendini on the line, who lives here in Chapel Hill now and has some experience with that. And Mary, tell us how you know what you know.
How do I know what I know? Because we got booted from a homecoming game because my boyfriend got busted with a half pint bottle of Fightin' Cock bourbon. For those of you who know it, it's the official drink of the University of South Carolina. It's 103 proof, probably aged in a radiator. And one of his fraternity brothers, who was then an alum and was with State Law Enforcement Division, which is like North Carolina's FBI, saw him in the stadium because alumni brother was sitting a few rows behind us, saw the half-pint bottle, and away we went to the magistrate's office in the bowels of Williams-Brice Stadium. Now, I don't know how you could really spot somebody with 80,000-plus screaming crazies in a stadium, but they got him.
What color were you wearing?
Garnet and black, of course.
Wow. I don't get that must have been when the rules were really stiff down there, because they don't arrest anybody now, do they, Bob Lee?
Cops must be on a commission basis down there. You arrest one of your own home fans, for goodness sakes.
Well, quite seriously, they're not so bad at tailgates, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on at tailgates. But there are so many of us, and there's so many people in campers and, you know, great big overnight vehicles that it's kind of hard to catch. It's once you're in the stadium, just like they do at over at UNC, they have been known to look in purses and pat people down, and more than a few have been caught.
Well, I know at LSU, and again, I mentioned I've been there earlier, they don't let you in the stadium unless you're drunk. If you don't blow a 3.5 on the breathometer, they don't let you in the stadium, much less throw you out.
Yeah, but what is it those Louisianans call themselves, a coon what?
Careful now. We let you get in the name. We let you get the name of the liquor bottle in earlier. Now, don't push it.
I will not say it on the air, but they call themselves coon, you know what?
We do.
And, of course, they're going to be drunk, referring to themselves that way.
You have to be drunk to be a LSU fan.
Well, let's have a magistrate's office in Williams-Brice Stadium. That must be locked down now. No. Nobody gets arrested there now. It's like the Oakland Raiders. They set up temporary jails outside. I think they do it in Philadelphia too. They can't be bothered hauling somebody downtown. They just put them away for the game.
Well, Mary, we thank you for calling. It's our fans that make this show, so we appreciate your addition about the liquor situation at Williams-Brice Stadium.
Could they set up temporary jails outside of Duke?
At Duke?
Yeah. Duke?
No.
Yes.
They do? Outside
they
of Duke football?
I'm saying they certainly should just get alumni and students alike.
Wow, we like her. We want you to be a guest. You need to be a guest everywhere.
There's got to be a state joke in here somewhere.
No.
Just get them because they're Dukies.
Thank you, Mary.
Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
It's not difficult to find the people with it at Duke for a football game. So there's, you know, in a crowd of 85,000, it would be really tough, you know. So,
man, and anyway, somehow the word lacrosse players has got to be stuck in here somewhere. We're going to keep moving.
Come on. Move this show along. Hey, you know, we have to mention about Carolina getting a commitment from Elijah Wood from Charlotte Catholic this week.
Yes. Can we mention it?
Yeah, yes, we can.
We can. That's right.
No, we can't. You can't because you're so tight with the football staff. But, you know, the idea that Carolina signed T.J. Logan, who, by the way, did not make the trip. I'm not sure why. Did you get the scoop on that? He didn't make the trip tonight. But T.J. Logan, who ran for about 500 yards in the 3A state championship game last year, and then to follow it up with Elijah Hood, wow.
What a backfield Fedora's going to have.
I haven't heard Pat Pryde comment on that yet. I thought Dave who from where has locked up the state. Is it Dave Doug or Dave? Or what is his name over there anyway? Where is he?
Dave
Western Iowa? What the heck?
Dave Dorna signage? Is that what it is?
Or
Dave,
I think so, Dave, yeah. This is our state.
Well, look, let's talk a little bit about what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
What's that? That's how we got to run through the ACC real quick. At least the big one. The ACC is too big. How many people in? Do we ever get UConn in? And what did Swofford ever end up with? What do we got? 27 teams in here now?
Yeah, exactly. You know, UConn is waiting on the cusp to get in the next time the expansion happens.
Well, we're not going to talk about Pitt and Syracuse today because I just don't like them and I don't think they should be here. But we got to talk about our brethren within the borders here. NC State, Wake Forest, and Cutcliffe's crowd.
Well, yeah, those are three great games. Now that we're playing South Carolina or National League, let's talk about who the other guys are playing.
Yeah, they're big-name teams in our school.
It's the Battle of Bull City, the Bull City, whatever it is, Battle of Bull City versus Duke versus NC Central at Wallace Wade Stadium Saturday at 4 o'clock. I heard Cutcliffe on the radio pleading people to come out, trying to get over the 20,000 threshold there in the
Central. Don't even have a coach, do they?
No, they do. Well, they didn't, and then they did, and then they didn't, and now they have an interim coach. So,
and who is the coach leading his fighting raging Cajuns into the Carter?
Oh, Skippy.
Skippy, son of Lou.
Skippy Holtz has resurfaced at where the Louisiana Tech. Who are they playing? Is that who it is?
I believe it is the raging Cajun whatevers or something.
It's amazing how Skip Holtz.
The Fighting Gumbos, I don't know.
So he left East Carolina, he left and then went to Central Florida, and then right?
South Florida.
And they got booted out of there.
Yeah.
And now he's, why don't these guys just hang it up and retire? What's the deal?
Boy, I think that's going to be a good game over at the Carter. I mean, both teams with new coaches, so they can't scout each other. And Louisiana, we made all our jokes about Louisiana, there is a plethora of football talent in the state of Louisiana.
But didn't Terry Bradshaw come from Louisiana Tech?
I believe he did.
He did. Okay, so something that I knew.
And Burt Jones, the Rustin Rifle.
No, he didn't come. He didn't come from.
And what was his name? The quarterback
Burt
for the
Jones played at LSU. You nincompoop.
The quarterback for the Panthers. What was his name? The guy that was the handsome looking guy that had one season. Jimmy to the Super Bowl.
For the Panthers? Oh, Jake Delhomme.
Yeah, he was from some little wide spot in a bayou somewhere. What do you mean that guy like on the that catches alligators on that reality show?
And then Wake Forest is playing they had a big one. My kid used to refer to the Presbyterian school as Presbyterio, and so they're playing Presbyterian at BB&T Field. That'll get what, 15,000?
You never want to play a Jim Grobe team in September because they've got actual players in. By the 1st of October, he's playing walk-ons, but you never want to play. As we learned last year, if you remember, if we had played Wake Forest any time other than when we did, we'd have beat them.
All right, so Duke's playing Central. Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Fighting Cutcliffs. Even without a Manning at quarterback.
State's playing Louisiana Tech. Who's the state quarterback this year? Have they decided
yet? I can't name a single state player. Since Russell left, what the heck?
I don't think they've made the decision, have they?
Does David Amerson still play for them? Nah, he's in the pro somewhere.
Yeah,
okay.
He is.
And then Wake Forest. So
Roman Gabriel.
We're going 3-0 in the Big Four right now. And then tonight we'll find out. Now, here's what I'm worried about tonight. I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for the Tar Heels. There's no question about it. But you've got to stay in the game. You don't get blown out. Stay in the game and play well. And no matter what happens, make it a good opportunity to show off Carolina football on TV.
My partner here has just segued, which is a big-time professional broadcaster term, for helping me lead right into our next section, which was a brand-new section for us this year called a fan email. Bob Lee and Art, I want to know. And we got an email here from Jack in Southern Village, and he says, do you guys think Larry Fedora can handle a big-time football environment? Now, I know what he means by that. Our fans, known to be a little arrogant and pompous, think Larry Fedora arrived here barefoot from Mississippi. They don't realize that Larry Fedora has one of the most impressive big-time football backgrounds anybody could have, from being, offensive coordinator at Florida and then Oklahoma State. He's been in big-time conferences. William Bryce's
he was on the squad when Mike Gundy said, I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a man. He was on that staff.
I was going to mention
He was coaching Fedora was coaching the quarterback who got criticized that day.
Well, I mean, but Larry Fedora is a big-time college football coach, and his staff are too, and he knows what he's doing. This isn't going to frighten him. Again, he coached in the swamp. He grew up in Texas. Larry Fedora is not some yahoo that came up here on a bus from Hattiesburg. Well, he did come from Hattiesburg, but his background and our staff's background, we got a great staff, and Larry Fedora is one of the top football coaches in this country, and I'm a big fan. By golly.
And do you know that when in his opening press conference, do you know that when they asked him if he could recruit, you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, "You seen my wife? You seen my wife? That'll tell you I can recruit."
Absolutely. I'm a big Larry Fedora fan. If any of you fans want to send a question to us that you don't think we can answer or would like to hear us answer, email us during the week at my pal art@chapelboro.com. That's art@chapelboro.com. Any question that you would like to have us answer that we can actually say the answer without having the SEC pull the plug on us.
All right. We're heading into our final fast break segment. This is Art Chansky with Bob Lee on The Good Sports, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to The Landscape. This is Brian Popp with Landscape Logic. Don't just overseed this fall, but improve the condition of your soil by aerating and top dressing your lawn with the organic soil conditioner. This will create an avenue for water and nutrients so they can get to the root zone of the plant where it is needed, saving you money. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com. We'll see you next time in the Landscape.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Join us this Friday, August 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. for a customer appreciation event at our Chapel Hill North store off MLK Jr. Boulevard. Win great prizes, sample free food and drink, and learn how to save 18 cents per gallon on gasoline. Giveaways, savings, and fun this Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Cruisers in Chapel Hill North. It's our way of saying thanks to our customers in this community.
Cruisers, good to go.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Renner in the shotgun again with Blue to his right. He'll throw a quick screen to the 10-yard line. Davis makes a man miss and gets it to the end zone.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Rod Stutz in the WCHL studio today, and we're going to go back to Bob Lee and Art C. just a moment here, but it is time for our two-minute drill, and this is one of the most exciting parts of the show, I think, where we ask them really fast-paced questions, and they give us really fast-paced answers, and this has the potential to just absolutely go crazy. So, you guys ready for a good question? Who would you pick in a no-holds-barred cage match, Jadeveon Clowney or Lawrence Taylor?
Who would you pick?
I would take Lawrence Taylor at 55 years old or today over Jadeveon Clowney. I would take Lawrence Taylor over the entire Gamecock football team. Lord, they don't have any 14-year-old girls.
I would take Julius Peppers over both of those guys.
Really?
Absolutely.
Over LT?
Oh, my goodness. He's quick. He can shoot the J. He can do it all.
How about Chris Hamburger versus Jadeveon Clowney?
No, Chris Hamburger. I'll take you over him. At this stage. All right, go ahead, Ron.
All right, next question. Will Bryn Renner break T.J. Yates' career season passing records?
Absolutely, no question about it. You know why? Because he's in the offense that'll do it. You'll see Bryn Renner, because he's second year under Fedora's offense, you'll see a different Bryn Renner starting tonight. But this season, you'll see a different Bryn Renner. What do you think, Bob?
I do, too. I think he's going to have a great year, and I think T.J. Yates will probably be pulling for him as hard as anybody. I mean, those are two great kids, and we've been fortunate to have them. I hope he breaks the record, because that means we're scoring 40-some, 50 points a game.
We've seen a pretty darn good Bryn Renner already, and if we see a different, better Bryn Renner, it's going to be something else.
All right. I wonder how many Carolina fans can spell his first name correctly.
Probably not very many.
They can't even spell Guthridge or Daugherty.
Final question. If the Tar Heels win tonight, and this is the obvious question, should Larry Fedora take a picture of the scoreboard?
No. Let's move on. We have to be bigger than that. Let's move on.
No, no. I think he should. But, you know, they have some sense down there. You know, if they lose, it's going to be turn off the lights, the party's over. Nah. They're going to turn off the lights and the scoreboard, and everybody's going to leave, and we're not going to get the chance. But if he does get the chance, I think he should.
And also, we're in the age of Photoshop, so somebody can make it up anyway. I say no, but we'll see. I would love for us to have that question to be asked. Does Larry Fedora, in a moment when he says, do I take a picture? Quick, someone take a picture, because we just won the game.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
Well,
I think Art's right. They're not going to leave the scoreboard on if that happens.
Yeah, anyway, Charles is waiting for us now. He's ready to pull the plug.
They're going to do a lot. They're going to do a lot more than turn off the scoreboard if they lose that game. Let me tell you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we got just a few minutes left here, and I wanted to talk to you about tonight's game predictions. What kind of game is this going to be? What do you think is going to happen? What's going to be the final score?
Well, I told you earlier that I'm flopping like a Duke basketball player in this one. I do think the final score will be 35-28. And earlier I thought it was going to be South Carolina. Now I'm not so sure. It's all in the first half. It's all how this game starts. North Carolina has to stay in the game. They have to stay in the game. And if they can get on the scoreboard early, I think there's a real chance that South Carolina will go away from its game plan. This is not a high-flying Steve Spurrier South Carolina team. It's not a team that tries to score 50 points. It's a team that wins with ball control and offense and tough, tough defense. And it's a team that can't come back from a big deficit. So if the Tar Heels can get out to it, it's going to change South Carolina's game plan.
Well, I think it's going to be like a game we've talked about already today, which is the time we played in the Chick-fil-A preseason bowl against LSU. It's going to be just like that LSU game, except Marvin Austin is not going to be in the stands.
Tweeting.
Tweeting. And we're going to fall behind early. Our fans are going to get upset. People are going to start turning it off. Then we're going to come back in the second half. And instead of T.J. Yates throwing it and Zach Pinalto bouncing off his fingernails and missing it, Bryn Renner's going to throw a pass, and big Eric Ebron, the beast, is going to pull it down, and we're going to win.
So the first of his 12 touchdowns, if Fedora says he's looking for Ebron.
Oh, no, he would have already had one earlier, so it'll be the second Eric Ebron touchdown in the final seconds. Tar Heels win.
Well, that's a scenario that could happen because the Tar Heels can come back.
Of course it could happen.
They have that kind of now, but if the Tar Heels get out in front, we're going to have a big surprise. We're going to have a big parade. We're going to have a big night in Columbia. I just don't stay in the game. That's what I want. Stay in the game.
1 hour to go. Countdown.
So you guys are both calling for a Carolina victory tonight. North Carolina.
That's an out. Yeah, a blue Carolina victory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to hedge my bet and say they've got to stay in the game. If it's a game after the first quarter, I think they're going to win.
Yeah, you also thought we were going to beat Duke last fall, too.
In football or basketball?
In football.
I knew we were
It's going to be a great season, Guy. We've had a great show. Stutz, you were the consummate professional as always. What can I say?
Consummate, thank you.
And we thank Charles Waddell for taking so much of his time 2 hours before kickoff. So thank you, Charles. And thank you, Ron. Thank you, Bob Lee.
And thank you, Art Chansky.
Hey, Bob Lee, let me ask you a question. Are you on speed when you write that column?
I wake up loving life, Chansky. You ought to try it sometime. People go to BobLeeSays.com, the greatest website on the planet.
You can also read Art Chansky on ChapelBro.com and hear him every day on Sports Notebook here on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. It's been a pleasure to be a part of this debacle. Thank you so much. Everybody stay tuned for Carolina football. North Carolina versus South Carolina coming up live from Columbia. We'll go to the Tar Heel Sports Network coming up next. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.